So the verse I want to use today is Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. You want to hold that real quick? It actually has nothing really to do with the message, but it kind of got me started with this journey. I'll do this. If you're there, say amen. If you're not there, say,
oh no.
No evens?
Oh,
it's so slow. Nine chapter two. Matthew 9 chapter 2. Verse 2, sorry. Chapter 9, verse 2. Yeah. So this is just then some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a stretcher. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, have courage, son. Your sins are forgiven. I was actually reading the New King James Version of the translation. And it says, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. I'm like, that's a really weird way of translating it. Your sins are forgiven you. That doesn't even make sense the way we speak in English today. So I began to look into like what I realized as I looked at that passage in that translation, your sins are forgiven. I don't actually realize what forgiveness really means. So I looked into the Greek word for it. It's like, well, you know, and the Greek word for to forgive is aphiemi. And that word has a few connotations. And for it has a lot of meaning. It means like to depart, to separate, to divorce, actually, from a man and woman. So aphiemi is just to leave behind, or it's just to forgive. So the connotation of forgiveness is involving you splitting whatever that's on you, it's left you, it's apart from you, it's separated from you. So when Jesus said your sins are forgiven, it means your sins are no longer a part of you. Cool, huh? So what does that mean, though? What does that mean for us? You see, forgiveness is an act of separation of something that's negative between two people. So it says you've done something to me, I get angry at you. But when I forgive you, I choose to leave behind the emotional baggage and the pain that you have done to me. So that's what forgiveness is. I separate that from me. And that's the context how it's used biblically. You know, we like to use, like, oh, forgive and forget. Don't forget. Nobody forget what you've done, right? And when it hurts, you just don't forget. And you know, not to be funny, but people also sometimes be notoriously vengeful. They just hold grudges and say, oh, like 3 years later, you still remember that little thing that I've done? You need forgiveness. Forgiveness is releasing a debt from someone who you think owes you. Most of the time, we want an apology. Like, you owe me an apology. That's why I'm still holding on to this unforgiveness. I'm still going to hold on to this. I'm going to still be angry at you for what you've done with me until you apologize. Sometimes it's an apology. You know, and on a deeper level, sometimes you wish they can undo what they've done. Or even, you wish they can feel the same pain that they inflicted on you. Right? Why am I sharing all this? It's kind of like heavy, because I want to like shake some foundations of the way we live life. Because a lot of us, myself included, you know, on my journey of walking in freedom from pain, from depression, from anger, was realizing that I've built a foundation of my life, an era of my life, with unforgiveness. So with unforgiveness, that's the foundation. I began to build this part of my life. It's higher. My hope is that we can rattle some of our forgiveness, that foundation, so you can actually walk in freedom. So you can actually walk in a life where you don't have that baggage. Right? When my mom first really opposed our relationship, it's interesting. What happened was she was just all her feelings of shame and guilt just projected like, onto me at that point. Oh, people's gonna make fun of you. Oh, no, you know, no. Oh, when you go back to Taiwan, which I'm not gonna go back to Taiwan, it's, you know, like people are just gonna, like, you know, shame you for marrying a black woman or whatever. Like,
where does this come from? Like, I'm not even, like, I'm here, I'm gonna live here, this is my home.
You know, and all the self-hatred, all the shame just manifested out in the way she was talking to me, to the point where she was like, you're not my son. I'm like, why? Just because I'm dating a woman of a different color. And I haven't done anything that's really bad. I serve the Lord. I'm not doing drugs. Well, I'd rather you do drugs than go date a black woman. Wow. Yeah, I'm not trying to speak bad of my mom because it's a happy ending to this. That's why I'm here. And I have forgiven. That's why it doesn't hurt me at all. My shoes. Do you think there's something wrong with the Asian mentality of, like, being somebody's son requires you doing something? Like, I am a son because I do, or I'm a son or a daughter because I am. You know, and I think when this cultural, I get to kick you out of the house because you've done something wrong, in my opinion, that's not biblical at all. But what did I do? I have to keep forgiving. See, unforgiveness is like, it's like holding this bottle, okay, an open bottle. And you, having an open bottle, you actually allow the enemy to drop whatever he wants in here. Sometimes usually it's shame, bitterness, guilt, rage, depression, toss that in there. It's holding on to this unforgiveness, this person, the hatred, the anger, dropping on it. What happens when you forgive? All that's gone. See, that's the power of forgiveness. You don't want to hold on to the baggage that comes along with one unforgiveness. It's a football for the enemy to come in and just wreak havoc on your life. My friend has said, like, unforgiveness is like taking poison, hoping the other person would die. Right? It's all you're doing at the end of the day is just adding more fuel, but it has nothing to do with the other person because you're holding on to this level of forgiveness. See, to forgive people is for you, it's for your freedom. It has nothing to do with the other party. That's why Jesus keeps saying, forgive, and you'll be forgiven. It's on your side of what you're accountable for, okay? Whatever they've done, and sometimes there's nothing you can do about it, but it's on your side of as a Christian, as to walk in freedom, it's just to forgive. It's for your freedom, right? For your freedom's sake, Christ has set you free. So there is that, your choice to free yourself begins with forgiveness. I know, I know it's hard. I don't want to downplay anything that whatever people here have experienced. I'm not going to downplay any of that. My goal is to try to think about what areas of my life I've built on with unforgiveness. So what happens when you build your life on unforgiveness? You develop patterns, unhealthy patterns that keeps coming back. You find yourself in a cycle. Why am I trying to always get approval from this person? You know, why am I angry every single time when I'm not picked? Why am I, like, you know, when I don't feel accepted, I just want to quit? Like, and these are unhealthy habits and behaviors that, in essence, lie in the root of unforgiveness. Sometimes it's just so buried, so hidden, that you actually don't even remember what happen. That's something you and the Lord can talk about. Part of the spiritual walk with Jesus is that you are actually able to experience a level of freedom. So we don't have baggage, right? I mean, sometimes parents, let's be real, parents say stuff to us, and parents just awful. You do something for them, and then they forget, and you're like, what the heck? I've just done this. Why are you yelling at me? You know, it's the Asian thing. Again, I'm not downplaying parents, but I feel like a lot of our own baggage came from them. And then when we go out into the world, when the baggage came from people in the world who are broken. See, broken people hurt people. It's just a sad thing. Hurt people. That's why our goal as Christians is to be healed and forgive, so we don't hurt others out of our own pain. But it's easy though, right, to remain in unforgiveness. It's actually, I think, easier to be angry than to feel pain. It's actually easy sometimes to be in hatred than to address the pain that you have, right? Because when you choose to forgive, you're forced to confront the pain that's been dealt to you. Like, oh, like I remember what they said, and all of a sudden it hurts. But I'd rather just bury it in anger. I'd just be angry at them. I'd rather just hate them. See, that's why sometimes we don't want to forgive, because we want to avoid the pain that comes with that baggage. And sometimes we just can't do it because it was so traumatizing. How many of you know that we have seen? See, with the part of walking in freedom of forgiveness is we get to walk it by holding your hand with Jesus along this path. The part of when you confront the pain that you have, pain services. But how many of you know when Jesus reveals things, he reveals to heal? It's okay to go through some pain, because the purpose of when God reveals it to you is he wants to heal you. He wants you to take that from you. You know the refiner's fire metaphor, when like we're in pure metal and like we get melted and the impurity comes up and you swipe it away. Part of that is pain. Part of that is able to, when we see it, it's surface, you get to actually give it to Jesus. You can actually give it to him who will take it from you. But are you willing to go through it? Are you willing to go through the valley of shadow and death and fear no evil along the way? Are you willing to walk through it? Because you know the promise of healing is on the other side. Or you'd rather carry that pain and live a life just in bondage. That's your choice. You know, and before I get back to my story, I'm going to do some practical, like, how to forgive. I think a lot of us, we don't really know how to forgive. You know, we don't know how to separate the pain. We don't know how to separate the trauma. So step one. You know, when you forgive, be specific about what you're forgiving. You know? Not like, oh, I forgive John. So bitter. Like you're not specific about what happened. And when you want to forgive, say, oh, I forgive John. Address the action and address the emotion that's dealt to you. In other words, I forgive John for making fun of me and making me feel like I'm a piece of crap. I forgive him for that. You become very specific with the action that's been done to you and the emotional damage that's been dealt to you. Because that's how you separate it. It's a vague, I forget, John, you're not separating anything. You're not specific at all. Now, I forgive my mom for saying this to me and making me feel like I'm just not worth it. I forgive this person who had used me for this and making me feel like I'm just a tool. I mean, these are things that are some deep-rooted stuff, but when you be specific with it, you have an opportunity to be free from it. And I think a lot of us, you know, in the Asian culture, we have this false honor. We're supposed to respect the elder, which is fine, right? I'm all for that. But how many of you know that gets abused from time to time? Right? And we tell ourselves that it's okay, it's fine, it's how it's supposed to be. I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. But in reality, we're not. We act out in different ways. We act out in ways where it's just like, what? I can't even believe I have this happen. Are we okay? I'm sorry. This is a deep stuff. I'm trying to get rattled some conversations. I'm not here trying to do some inner healing. This is not my goal. I want you guys to think about what part of my life. Why am I acting in a certain way that's really just ungodly or very negative? I'd like you to ask the Holy Spirit, when you're home in the prayer time, to say, who did I not forgive? Because I learned the power of forgiveness. Every time there's something happens, I'm actually quick to address it. So to be honest, I don't have anybody on board. you're just like, you know what, I'm free. It feels really good. It feels really good just to be happy. It feels really good just to be free from the bondage.
Well, that's in there.
Again, be specific about the pain and the action, allowing you to separate from you. And lastly, just do it in the presence of God. You know, what safer place to walk in healing and forgiveness when you're praying? What safer place to walk in healing and forgiveness when you're worshiping the Lord, when you bring His attention, when you invite Him to have His manifest presence come out? You know, it's like, hey, I'm showing up. And it's like, oh, great, I can talk to you about my baggage. You know, the presence of God is the safest place for you to deal with all the stuff, because He's a good God. Because He actually wants to free you and heal you. So if you're having things that are just kind of, you can't get out of, I really recommend doing it. Be specific on what happened. You know, Johnny did this to me, and this made me feel that. While I'm praying, while I'm studying the Word, while I'm worshiping. And it brings, I guarantee you, because you get to invite God into that area, it fills it with joy. So, best thing. Yes. So when I first told my mom that I'm going to date my girlfriend then, not my wife, this is when all hell kind of broke loose. We started dating in February. Our first date was actually Valentine's Day. Yeah, that's great. But my mother would really forbid me to really see her, or at least during our times together, like, she would always call me, and I think really guilt trip me into going back home. You know, oh, you don't love me. You know, I need you to do something. I just did it. Nope, come back and we need to finish. You didn't do it right. Oh, God. You know, be aware of emotional manipulations in life. Okay, be aware to be able to set expectations and boundaries in your heart. Okay, when somebody asks you to do something, just have an expectation. Like, what's the expectation? What am I expected to finish? That's just regular communications in life. You want to do this in business? You want to do this in life? Know what are the conditions and expectations, so you don't just become somebody else's like errand boy. Every time they want something, here is my expectation. I can do these chores, I can help you with this errand, and I'll do this, and I'll be done with it. If that's not cool. Yeah, as a young adult, that's cool. You guys are kids, maybe when you're older, you're going to work with that with your parents. But as an adult, like, I can set my boundaries, my expectations. So it really wasn't until like July my mom decided that she wanted to see my girlfriend. Along the way, we've gone on dates, and there was one time, I've gone on dates, and at home, like, I would always just get berated with whatever baggage she had. Sometimes it's not even about being with her. Sometimes her own baggage just releases it upon me. That's awful. Like, no, we're not, like, you're wasting money. Like, why are you doing this? Like, you're wasting your time. And like, get a better job. Like, all that stuff. It's like, oh, I'm being torn down as a man. And just to be real, it got so bad one day that I almost hit my mom. It got so bad one day I almost hit my mom. Don't hit your parents. I'm not saying, like, you know, that's, don't do it. But I'm saying it did got to the point where it got that bad. And I'm just being very vulnerable. This fight, you know, I just escalated. I got so angry that I got so, you know, and whenever I, to a point in my life, whenever I start thinking about my mother, I have this uncontrollable rage. That's also when I found the scripture. Your sins are forgiven me. It's when I started looking into the word forgive. It's just separate. What did I do? Right? What did the Bible say about forgiveness and reconciliation? I've learned to always come in the opposite spirit. What does that mean? It's love those who persecute me. It means that when she comes in hatred, I come in love. When she came in, everything that she does that was evil and bad, I came with honor and respect. And I tell the truth. I'll tell the truth all the time, whether I know if it hurt me or not. Because I want to earn. I want to tell you, I am honorable. I'm not doing this because I'm shady. I'm not doing any of this because I'm dumb. I'm doing this because I'm honorable. I love because I am first loved by God. I am honorable because this is who I am in Christ. Whether or not what you do to me. But sometimes we want to fight back. Right? We want to be like, in what? Like, oh. The scripture says, the Lord's vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. See, your job is to forgive. His job is to deal justice. Do you trust God that he will deal justice in the right time when something happened against you? Because you have your part to play. It's just to forgive. It's to walk in freedom. It's to be the light and shine your light unto the world. Be a light on the world, light on the world, like a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Your job is to free, to be free. His job is to do justice. I, part of my spiritual warfare battles that I've done, I really believe in shifting the atmosphere of Islam. I really believe that the Bible says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but with powers, principalities, and the cosmic influences and demonic forces in the heavenly realms. That's what we're dealing with. There's stuff that sometimes influences the way we think. Not every thought you have is your own. Let's be honest. God and yours, the enemy. And sometimes when people act super irrationally, sometimes I believe it's the enemy is the enemy. So what do I do? I worship in my mom's room. That's what I did. When she's out at work, I just bust out worship music. I invite the presence of God into a place. Because see, if the presence of the Lord comes to a place, that place becomes holy ground. See, if God comes into a place, then the demons have to flee. Anything impure has to go. When you invite the Lord in, then bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Bring the presence of God, and as you want to worship God, you welcome God to a place, and he comes. Right? Scripture says he sits upon our praise, but he's there when we worship him. He comes to a room, but when he steps into the room, the enemy has either worship him or leave. So my idea of spiritual warfare is I just change the atmosphere all the time, everywhere I go, I sing, I pray the presence of God, I walk with God everywhere I go, so therefore, everywhere I go, enemy has to flee. Yeah, I pray. Get on my knees, and I pray for things to change. Don't pray that my mom, burst her. No, I pray that, Lord, you encounter her heart. That, Lord, you change her heart, heal whatever pain that she's dealing with. Yeah, my niece, our fight as Christians is when we get down and we start praying to the Lord. That's our fight. You want things, see things change in your life, you have no power to change whatsoever, you pray and ask God to change. You know what? Long story short, one time we were out on a date, and just did a little selfies and everything with my girlfriend. We went home, didn't tell my mom how about there's some toilet. It's mirror. And like my girlfriend said, yeah, said text me the pictures. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. Text. And dropped them in the game. And like 20 minutes later, kind of, it's a long time. 20 minutes. Later, it's like, and she called me. And she's like, hey, where are the pictures? Like, I sent them. And no, you didn't. I go back and I realized I sent all 5 pictures of us together to my mom. So I was like, oh, you know. And I caught up, because I'm like, oh, yeah, it's like 10 o'clock right now. And my mom is usually asleep. Okay, so I'm going to go into my room. So what I'm going to do is, go in and open the door, it creaks, so I hate it when this door opens, it creaks. I open the door and, oh my gosh, it's one of them, on her phone. And I was like, hey, mom, hey,
In my mind, I'm like, oh crap, I don't want to deal with this again. I had a really good day. I really don't have any more strength to keep this up. I stood there. My mom says, I saw everything. Like, yeah, I'm not mad at you. Oh, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Okay. I just walked out. I'm like, oh, what the heck just happened? First time in my life. This was like May. Okay, from February to May, about 3 months of this situation. It was May, something shifted. And I remember I was praying in her room, worshiping in her room, and I was shifting the atmosphere every single day. A little along the road, my mom found some Christian friends, and she ended up joining this amazing church. She became real friends with. She's not alone anymore. Along the lines, her business becomes successful. Along the lines of those years, those short 3 months, people in her life would hurt her. I would apologize to her. You know, hey, these things I can't do, right? This is out of my control, but all these things added to her healing. And to the point in May, that night, she was like, I'm not okay, I want to meet her. Let's get things together. Let me get together in July 4th. And it was hard. It was hard all the way because I got engaged really good. And she's like, I can't, what are you? And when we got married in April, finally relented a little bit. But you know what? Right now I can say that my mom and my wife, they had a really solid relationship. I blessed those who persecuted me. And I keep loving. And I, whenever I'm in pain, I choose not to be offended and I give to Jesus. There's one thing as a Christian we have a place to give our pain to. That's the Lord. If you don't have God with you, just hold it in. You just take it in. He's just all in you all the time. That's why people are just like, why are you bitter all the time? Because they have so much unforgiveness in their heart. But the pain is real, right? You get to give it to God. I get to be inoffendable. I get to be affirmed in Christ. I know who I am. I'm a child of God. And no matter what she said to me, God won't change that. No matter who anything, who anybody did to me, it won't change the fact that I am a child of God. And with that in mind, let's keep giving. It's hard. You're wrong. But if you do things God's way, you'll get God results. If you do things God's way, Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. So I'm not fighting my mom. I realize that. I'm fighting whatever influence. I'm fighting whatever her influence, her thinking, or whatever her shame and her guilt manifest. I'm just dealing with that. Because ultimately, that's just not who she is. Why are you talking about this? I don't want us really, I have a really heavy heart for Asians. I spoke at Chinese churches. And one thing I feel like that's really plaguing our culture is that we hold on to our forgiveness and let that shape our life, and we build our identity on what we do, our career, who we are, who we find out what we do. I don't talk about that today. It's a different thing. But when you walk in forgiveness, when you learn to forgive with God, separate that pain, separate those actions, you have space available in your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord. Otherwise, you're just holding on to something. And the more unforgiveness you have, the more you have. And you don't even have the hands available just to receive God's blessing. God's grace. If I really want to, hopefully, have you think about what does it mean to be free from that kind of pain? hope that you guys have passed through talks and confiding songs, like emotional stuff. But I can tell you on the other side of fence of freedom, it's good. It's really good. It's really free. Live a life, you know, carrying the stuff that you're not supposed to carry. All it does is hinder you from the destiny. All it does is hinder you from the purpose that he has for you. And, you guys okay? Yeah? I really want to see all of us here as Christians, you know, just to be the light of the world. Something about the fact that when we walk in full healing and freedom, people look at us and feel like, what's so different about them? You know, why are you not mad at this? Why do you still care? And that's when they start asking the questions. Why do you have hope? And that was what I would say. Jesus, because he changed my life. Because he frees me for myself. Bless you. You pray. Lord, I thank you for just your healing power, really. I thank you that there is, whenever there is a need, there's an opportunity for you to show up. Whenever there is a place where we need you, there is a chance for you to show up with miracles and power. So right now, Lord, I just pray that if everybody here, you speak to them in their hearts, what areas of their life that they have not forgiven, what they hold on to. And Lord, I just release your spirit to heal and to restore and to set free. So in the name of Jesus, you know, we say every chain be broken that's holding us down to the life that we're meant to live, the life that you want us to live. Thank you, Lord. Just bless everybody here in Jesus' name.
Well, that concludes our service. Before we go, can we give a round of applause? If we can work together to maybe set up the chairs for lunch,
I'll be. Well, I'm here for prayer. If anybody wants to talk to me, have a word.